Time for our weekly interview with the Prime Minister, who joins us now. Tēnā koe, good morning.
Morena.
Can I start with the insurance industry? We've heard from Consumer New Zealand that they would like the government to intervene because these big brands, which IAG control, this is AMI and State, are not taking new customers in Wellington. Would the government intervene in this situation?
Look, I had this question raised with me very briefly yesterday, and I would like to check in with the relevant minister on this issue. Of course, you know, we need to make sure that consumers are able to access the insurance market. We want to ensure that Kiwis are able to be covered. This isn't something I've been directly briefed on, but it's not to say a minister directly in charge may not have, but it is something I'll check in with him on.
Okay, if I could move to Shane Jones, who... After having a conflict of interest in the Kupe tourism project, then went along to this ministerial meeting where the millions of dollars was signed off on. I just want to concentrate on whether you think he's met ministerial standards here. So the meeting was February 12, and it's Shane Jones, Robertson, Twyford and Parker, and they've met in their weekly Provincial Growth Fund meeting. Then in April, at the end of April, Paul Goldsmith asks Shane Jones a written question about this and asks for the names and titles of individuals and organisations and everyone he's met with. And here's his reply. I asked my ministerial colleagues to make the decision on that project in order to manage a conflict of interest. As such, I have had no formal meetings regarding the Mania Footprints of Kupe project since receiving my ministerial warrants. Do you regard that as an accurate and transparent answer?
And he did actually disclose, my understanding is in other questions, he did actually disclose that conversation that was had between himself and Minister Robertson. So he's also declared in those written questions the conflict of interest. And so there is that transparency there around those individual interactions. And coming back to the conflict more generally, Guyon.
Well, I wonder if before we do that, we could answer that specific question, because he does say there, I have had no formal meetings regarding this project since receiving my ministerial warrants. Do you regard that as accurate and transparent?
And as I say, there are other written questions where he does actually talk about that exchange.
Well, why won't you talk about this one?
Keeping in mind, of course, I don't have every single one of the thousands of written questions the minister gets asked, but keeping in mind, of course, the February 12th meeting was a PGF meeting. It wasn't specific to any one project. Yes, he now acknowledges that it would have been perception-wise better if he had left the room, but every minister in that room knew the minister's conflict. Every official did. The Cabinet Office knew. He was not a decision-making minister. All briefings were being transferred to a decision-making minister that was not him. And keeping in mind the conflict itself, I think that's important. He knew someone involved in the project, and some years ago he had been told about it, and he thought it was a good idea and had advocated. And so that's why he withdrew. There was no pecuniary interest there. And so he has followed the advice Cabinet Office gave him. And
we'll
so
come to that. We'll come to that in important a, point. And we'll come to that in a second. But I raised the questions of the parliamentary written questions because, as many will remember, that is the reason that Claire Curran was sacked, wasn't it? She didn't disclose a meeting that she'd had, and she was misleading in the answers she gave to parliamentary questions. Now, there's a clear one there. I appreciate you haven't got them all in front of you, but it's pretty clear. It's a month or so, well, it's April, and the meeting was February, and he said that he's had no formal meetings about this project.
I'm just asking you whether you think that's
misleading.
Absolutely. No, but absolutely, if the minister's being asked whether or not he's had any formal meetings on the project, you know, he may well have interpreted it as a question around whether or not he'd met directly with the parties involved. He has acknowledged in written questions the exchange that you're actually asking me about.
Okay, so you don't reckon he needs to correct the record? You don't think he needs to correct the record in Parliament?
Those actually ultimately are matters for the Minister and the Speaker to determine whether or not they've accurately reflected. But as I say, there were... The minister has asked many. He did talk about that exchange with Minister Robertson, as I understand, in one of those questions. I don't have all of the many thousands he's answered in front of me, but my understanding is that that exact issue was included in those questions.
So you say that he has followed Cabinet Office advice, right? So is there formal advice from the Cabinet Office which says it's okay for him to go along to a ministerial meeting to determine millions of dollars of funding to a project that he's declared a conflict of interest in? Did the Cabinet Office say that was okay?
Again, the Cabinet Office doesn't give that specific advice on whether or not someone should be in the room specifically or not. The advice is around whether or not someone receives formal briefings, who has the ultimate decision-making power there. And look, the Minister himself now acknowledges that for the sake of perception, it would have been better had he not been in there. But every single person in that room knew his declared interest.
Because he didn't acknowledge... that's fair enough, and you have made that point. But he didn't acknowledge that when I spoke to him yesterday. He was... I'm not sure whether you heard the interview, but he said that there was...
I've been told about it.
Yeah. It's worth a listen. Go back and listen. he said, look, you know, if I... I'd have to leave every meeting sort of thing. I mean, he was quite dismissive of the idea that he should have left the meeting. Did you talk to him after that interview, did you?
I had a conversation with him when I saw him, which obviously is Cabinet, and did speak to him about the specific case. He did acknowledge that, look, obviously for the sake of perception, it would have been easier because he had followed every other piece of guidance.
So he's changed his mind after his conversation with you, has he?
I wouldn't reflect that. Look, there will be scenarios where a minister will leave a room, and from time to time there might be a declared interest or conflict where it's viewed that there isn't a need to leave the room. There is a bit more discretion in that area, but Guy, and I come back to the advice he was given. He was told someone else should have decision-making power. He transferred, he didn't receive briefings, and keep in mind the nature of the conflict. He knew someone involved. There was no monetary benefit here to the minister. He had no official position. He followed the guidance he was given by Cabinet, and that's important for me.
It seems a bit strange that Shane Jones would declare a conflict of interest after running into someone 5 years ago, because that's effectively what he said.
He acknowledges he knew someone involved in the project well. I believe that they have since passed, that's my understanding, but he knew someone involved at the time well. Mm.
So you're all cool with this, no problem?
For me, the what needs to happen is the declaration and following the guidance, and the minister has done that.
Mm. What about his style here as a minister in your government? And you've talked about kindness and standards and all that stuff. He goes on radio and launches a pretty serious personal attack on a journalist, calling him a bunny boiler, and then threatening to use parliamentary privilege to further his attack on this journalist whose sin seems to be trying to hold a minister to account.
And I certainly, when asked about that yesterday, said that the use of parliamentary privilege in that way I considered to be ill-advised, and I would not recommend that. I haven't heard the interview, sorry, Guy, on so
no,
I couldn't comment further.
So
I wouldn't want to necessarily try and interpret exactly what Minister Jones meant.
Well, I think you might have to watch the film with... who is it?
Fatal Attraction, I think.
Yeah, Fatal Attraction. Glenn Close, yeah, that's right, to interpret that one. But just finally, because I know you have to go, so we're not going to see Shane Jones attacking journalists in Parliament this week?
Look, ultimately, I have, when asked, said that I did not believe that would be appropriate, and that's my advice to Minister Jones.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks.
That's the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern.